Hey, good morning, everyone. How we doing? Man. Man, it is. Go ahead and take a seat. Thank you so much. Man, I'm loaded up on water right now. This is great. I might put one of these aside here real quick. I'm so excited to be with you. My name is Gabe, and welcome to Bridge City. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself in a second. But before I do, I just want to honor two incredible leaders in the house today. First is Pastor Nick. Where are you at, Pastor Nick? I heard you during worship. There he is. Pastor Nick. Y'all thankful for Pastor Nick? You know, the scripture says there's an apostle Paul who said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And there's a reality that should sober any minister of the word, that they're called to image Christ to the church. They're not called to be Jesus. There's only one Jesus. That's important to know. But they're called to represent a picture, a taste of what Jesus is like. And Pastor Nick, I just want to say that I see you representing Jesus the way you love people. Amen. I really do. The same way that Jesus gave everything for the people he loved, you sacrificially give everything you've got to serve these people in this room. And you're a great shepherd. You know your sheep by name, which is amazing. And you love and affirm them. And you see where God wants to take them. And you're passionate about getting them there. And I've received so much already from you in my short time here. I really, really believe and feel that you love me deeply as a man of God. And I'm so thankful for you. I love spending this time with you. And thanks for even giving me this opportunity to share this morning. I know how much it means to you. But that's just one way that you've chosen to love and believe in me. And it means so much. So thank you, Pastor Nick. And the other man that I want to honor here is, some of you know him as Pastor Rick or Mr. Paladin or who knows what, but I know him as Uncle Rick or Great Uncle Rick, and I just want to honor him today. My dad grew up in this church, and Uncle Rick gave my dad his first ministry job. Certainly you were very involved in his life from day one, but especially in that season, you really shaped him very significantly. And I, as his son, have been shaped very much by what you poured into him. Like indirectly, I've received from you for a lot of years now. And now in this season, as an intern here at Bridge City Church, getting to work right alongside you and partner with what God's doing here, you're ministering a lot to me and you're building me and shaping me as a man of God. And thank you so much for believing in me. That means so much in this time, and thanks for being a part and making me who you have seen God wants me to be. Thank you for pushing me forward. Can we honor Pastor Rick today? And I just want to say here to anyone here who, you know, you consider Bridge City your church, or if you're checking it out and wondering if this would be your church, these two men, I just want to commend them to you as a guest. They really believe that you were created for destiny in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. They really believe that. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about you not just being here, sitting in a chair and listening to what they have to say on a Sunday, but you being activated, being mobilized to work in the kingdom of God for God's glory. So when they're asking and saying, hey, we want to see you serving, some of you probably know what it's like where, you know, one of them's like, hey, what teams are you on? How are you getting involved, right? The reason they're doing that, it's not just because they need more people to help with church. They're very capable men. They can do a lot. They're pushing you toward that, not out of desperation, but out of vision, where they believe that you were created for good things, and they want to see you achieve everything that God created you to do. And so I just want to like commend them to you and give you an encouragement. When they're giving you like that nudge to serve and you hear the plugs, get on a team, and maybe one of them sits you down and they're like, hey, I want to put this responsibility in your hands. What do you think? I want to encourage you. They have tremendous vision for your life because God's given them the authority to do that. And they want to push you. And they're actually, I would even dare say, they're God's instrument to make you men and women of the faith. I really want, like, God wants to work through them in your life. And so if you would receive them, their leadership in your life, I believe you'd be really blessed. So I just want to commend them to you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. So a little bit about myself. My last name is Paladin. If you haven't figured that out already, I'm Gabe Paladin. If you're wondering how on earth am I related to all the other Paladins you know, these wonderful people right here, some of you know them as Larry and Phyllis or Pastor Larry or whatever, but to me, they're Pappy and Grammy. They're my grandparents. Their second son, Daniel, who some of you may know, he is my dad. And so that's how I'm related to Rick and Natalie back there. That feels weird to say, but Uncle Rick and Aunt Natalie. I feel like I need to correct myself there, you know? I was born in the City of Champions here, and I'm happy to say I'm still a Steelers fan. So good news. I see a hat back there. It's so good to be somewhere. After years of exile in New York, I'm home. I'm home. So I was born here, and my parents moved to upstate New York, right up by the Canadian border. We have Tim Hortons up there, eh? You guys know Tim Hortons? Is that down here? Yeah, okay. So I'm basically Canadian, but New York. But lived there for 20 years, and actually my family is embarking on a new adventure in the days ahead. Really feel like God is calling us to a new season and a crazy adventure. And so in 2027, my family will be planting a church in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And so some of you might be wondering, like, how on earth, like, what am I doing here? So I'm taking a quick stop here in Pittsburgh for about, like, 5-6 months till the end of the year, and then I'll be joining them in Tennessee. They're there right now, and really just believing for lots of favor from the Lord in the days ahead. There are people there to reach for God's glory, and we're very aware we're not enough on our own strength, but we believe in a big God who equips those who he calls. And so we're just launching forward. We would really appreciate your prayers in this time. But that's a little bit about me. And I just want to say today, you know, I have totally fallen in love with Jesus because he changed my life. Amen. I haven't lived a lot of life, but I've lived enough to know that I found what I'm looking for. And that's Jesus Christ. He saw me as a 16-year-old who grew up in church and knew how to be the perfect church boy on the outside. But on the inside, my life was all about me. It was all about building my own name and all about what I could accomplish. And God really arrested my attention at 16 years old and showed me that my life was about him. I was created for his glory, not my own. And that I could find something by living for him that I couldn't get by myself. And then so many things, but one of the things I was desperate for was forgiveness for my sin. I was old enough to know that I was not a perfect person, but I was flawed on the inside. And I'd been looking for a remedy in my own strength to make myself clean, and I couldn't do it. But Jesus can forgive my sin, and he did. When I was 16, I encountered the love of God in a profound way, and that changed my life. And I just want to give an invitation to you today. If you've never had an experience like that, if you're hearing what I'm talking about and it feels foreign, Jesus can change your life. He won't make it perfect. We're going to hear a little bit about that today, but he will change your life. And if you've been searching for truth, if you've been searching for belonging, if you've been searching for meaning, for answers, I'm here to tell you today, you found it. You found it in the presence of God. Everything you need, you can be satisfied today by the Lord today. And so I hope you'll respond today as you learn more about who he is. I hope you'll respond today and run to Jesus. So I have the privilege today of doing week 2 of our Red Letters series. We started this last week. The Red Letters is a series about the 7 letters in the book of Revelation to 7 local churches. And these were written to real churches in time and history with real people. And even though they're not letters written to us today, the way God's word works is that they're written to people at a specific time and place, but they're for our benefit today. And so these letters are not just cool information, but they're powerful to equip us to serve God today. And so that's why we're doing this series. We're believing God wants to speak to us today through what he wrote thousands of years ago today. And today we're talking about the church in Smyrna. And get ready. This is a topic. I don't know if you're excited about this, but we're going to talk about suffering. Who's in? So probably not what you wanted to hear, right? Like July 4th weekend, you're like, bro, just give me something fun. But, why are we talking about suffering? Is it just that I want to ruin your morning? Well, no. I'm talking about suffering because here's the reality. Every follower of Jesus Christ will experience suffering, will experience hardship. It's a given. Jesus said, in this world, you will have difficulty. It's just an absolute guarantee. And so if you are following Jesus, I can guarantee every one of us in this room, we will experience difficulty, so we need to be equipped to do it, right? Yes. Right? It's like if you're in a class and you know everyone in the class has to take a test, you get ready for the test, right? Well, today, we're getting ready for the testing. We're getting ready for the suffering. And so it's very, very important for you to know if you haven't experienced difficulty for your faith yet, you will today. But here's the good news. Because that's depressing, right? Here's the good news. If you are faithful in the testing, if you are faithful through difficulty, on the other side of this life, there's an eternity with God. Where there's wholeness, joy, everlasting life in his presence. And the greatest things we could accomplish in this life have no comparison to what awaits the faithful if they persevere. And so the invitation today is push through the hardship, triumph in the suffering, and you'll receive an everlasting life at the end of this life. So that's the invitation today. So let's read, if you'd open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 2. This is verses 8 through 11 in the English Standard Version. And it'll be on the screen behind me, but if you've got a Bible, you're welcome to read along as well. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Let's pray. Lord, we want to hear what you have to say today through your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes to divine truth today. We don't just want to know information, God. We want to be equipped for serving you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to search us and reveal things in our hearts that maybe we need to lay down in order to follow you better. Or maybe things you just want to encourage us in today, God. We invite you to move today. Amen. Amen. So a little bit about the church in Smyrna. The city of Smyrna is an ancient city in modern-day Turkey. And what they were known for at the time of this writing was they were in a way, the center of this Roman emperor worship cult thing that was going on in the day. So the Roman Empire they were the ruling power at the time of Revelation. And what the emperor started to do is they got big heads, and they stopped thinking of themselves just as powerful men, but they actually started to think of themselves as divine gifts to humankind. And the Caesars, that's what the emperors were called, the Caesars started demanding the title of Lord, which means master or leader, or the one to whom exclusive devotion belongs. And so the church in Smyrna, this is all going around them, and like there's this really big like emperor worship thing going on right in their city. And they're very much in conflict, because to be a Christian means you say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my master. Jesus is the leader of my life. Not any man or thing. And so they're in conflict. This is like an irreconcilable tension where they're saying, we can't bow the knee both to Jesus Christ and to Caesar. We have to pick one. And so they're saying, Lord, we're going to remain faithful to you because, you know, we've seen you, we've experienced you, we want to follow you. But very possibly they're getting together at their prayer meetings and they're like, something is going on and this is going to get rough. Lord, how are you going to save us? What are you going to do to get us out of the testing, out of the difficulty, out of the suffering that's about to happen? And God's letter to Smyrna is, I'm not going to get you out of it. You think it's bad now, it's actually going to get worse. Notice how he says, be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. Like Jesus' letter to them is, it might get as bad as you dying for your faith. But be faithful. Stay the course. So what are we supposed to think about this today? I'm not here to tell you today that we're all going to die for our faith. Hopefully that's not going to be the case, right? But the truth of the scripture in here for us today is this. we need to be ready to embrace whatever cost following Jesus brings.
Yes.
Even if it brings death at some point, who knows where you and I might be 20 years from now. Are you ready to embrace the highest cost to follow Jesus? And how do we suffer well? Do we just try to like sneak by? Or is there a way to see the glory of God in the midst of extreme difficulty? And I'm here to tell you today, there's a way to see the glory of God in extreme difficulty. So let's dig in. Verse 8, Jesus introduces himself as the one who died and came back to life. Now that is a really, really important truth for any Christian at any time. And just a quick poll, who here believes that Jesus died and came back to life? How many of y'all know we have a risen Savior? We're not just worshiping a man who once lived and did some good things. We're worshiping a king who is alive in heaven right now. Isn't that good news? And that's always good for us to know. But think about the Smyrna Christians. They're hearing this bad news and they're like, oh man, it might get really bad. It might look like death for our faith. And Jesus is just up front reminding them saying, hey, I conquered death. I'm in charge. Death is a defeated enemy. If you serve me, you're on the winning side. That's really important for us to know. And anytime we encounter suffering, we need to remember who we're following. The one who has all authority.
Amen.
The greatest suffering could never conquer our risen King. And so that's just important for us to know. And then in verse 9, we get a picture of what the church in Smyrna is going through. And unfortunately, it's not just like bad things are happening with no explanation. They're suffering from actual people. They're suffering from a religious group in their city who hates them simply because they love God. How does that happen? You know, like you in here today, you're like, I'm just trying to be a good Christian. Like, you're probably trying to be a nice neighbor, you know, like be kind to people. How in the world could we be doing like everything right and have people hate us, right? Well, here's the reality. If you are following Jesus, you've been called out of darkness and into light in a world that loves darkness. So we should not be surprised when the world hates those who are in the light. Jesus said it, he said it this way. He says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. Jesus was a man of righteousness. He was a man of the light in a world that loved darkness. He was of a different DNA spiritually, so to say. And he's saying, hey, if you follow me, you're one of the light and you're in a world full of darkness. Don't be surprised when it hates you. Here's the deal. If we live in a world that is full of darkness and dysfunction, but deny that and say, I'm choosing truth, we shouldn't be surprised when it's difficult to live here, right? It's like, if everyone here is going one way and we're going the opposite, of course it feels a little bit like you're going against the grain. You know, Jesus said that the way is broad that leads to destruction, which means many, many, many people are going that way. But the way that leads to life is narrow, meaning there are few. So if there are times where you feel alone for your faith or you feel like I'm just being hated for no reason and I feel small and what is even happening to me, Jesus promised this would happen. Don't be surprised. And I want to say to you today, if this afternoon something happens to you and you're like, I think I was just hated for being a Christian, don't be surprised when that happens. The solution is not to just cower and say, well, maybe I'll be less of a Christian. The solution is to say, God, I'll be faithful. I forgive them. You know, Jesus was literally being nailed to the cross by people who hated him, and he said, Father, forgive them. Mm-hmm. That can be our story too, by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Hallelujah.
That hate can just bounce right off of us and say, God, I forgive them, Lord, and lead them to the truth. Now, we're talking about suffering today, and there's a very common misperception that's really important for us to address here today, and that's this. Maybe today you even were driving to church and you're thinking about some hardship in your life and wondering, how could a God who loves me be doing this to me? And I just want to say today, here's the truth. Suffering is not caused by God. It's really important for us to understand that. God is not the source of suffering. He is not an angry God in heaven who just wants to take out his grumpy mood on people down here. That is not who he is. He's a loving God who loves his people, and it pains him to see his people suffer. Here's where suffering comes from. When Adam and Eve willingly chose to follow the serpent in the garden, mm-hmm. when they willingly chose to reject God and choose their own way instead, that's where suffering came from. Mm-hmm. suffering is a result of sin. It's a result of the hardness of the human heart who runs away from God. And so anytime that you and I are experiencing difficulty in this life, whether it be simply just because life's hard or even because you're a Christian and you're suffering for your faith, it's important for us to recognize in some ways, this is just the result of a fallen world that I'm actually a contributor to. You know, we maybe aren't directly experiencing the consequences of our sin, but as human people who are flawed and our heart's desires are evil, man, that's what's causing the suffering in this world that we see and experience. And so the solution is not to blame God and get angry at God. The solution is to actually say, God, thank you for coming to save a broken world that was suffering and in darkness. Thank you, God, that you didn't just let us, you know, destroy ourselves in our own way, but thank you, God, for coming to be king over broken people. And that promise that I talked about earlier, that resurrection life, that everlasting life, God is coming back to bring his people into a pain-free eternity. An eternity free of suffering. God is coming back to bring a remedy, but the only way that you and I can get there is if we push through the suffering in this life. The only way that you and I can experience that everlasting life is if we say, Jesus, I'm trusting you to lead me through whatever might come. I'm going to a new home. This world is not it. This world is not what I'm living for. I'm going to a new home, and whatever I have to suffer to get there, Jesus, I'm following you. I'm following you. And in verse 10, I already commented about this a little bit, but he says, be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. Notice here how the battle for them is not to try to stay alive in the midst of suffering. The battle is to stay faithful. He's saying your attention should not be on trying to escape. Your attention should be on trying to stay faithful to your Lord in the midst of whatever happens to you. And I would say to you today, when we're experiencing difficulty for our faith, maybe we should switch our mindset to, instead of saying, how can I get out of this, saying, God, how can I serve you in the midst of it, right? Right? When you know, let's just say hypothetically someone at the grocery store hates you because you're a Christian. The mindset is not, how do I run away from this person? It's, God, how can I be faithful to you in the midst of this person who's lost and broken and needs the love of Jesus here? Yes. Right? That would be an example, right? And so just like mindset shift, we're Americans. We celebrated 250 years of an incredible country yesterday. And we're so blessed that I'm never worried about like the police coming in and disrupting our worship service, you know, because someone said something that offended the president. You know, I'm never worried about like some of the crazy persecution that many nations in the world are experiencing, right? But with that comfort, there's a temptation you and I could easily fall prey to where we say, I'm just choosing the easy way rather than the faithful way. Yeah. Where we're saying, I'm choosing the way that's free of pain because following Jesus sometimes is a little uncomfortable, and miss out on the opportunity to love Jesus in the midst of difficult stuff. Yeah. And so today, mindset shift. It's not about staying alive. It's about staying faithful. I invite you into that path of life today. And then the last thing in verse 11, he talks about the one who conquers, not about the one who just barely squeaks by, but the one who conquers suffering. Now, how can we view suffering as an opportunity to conquer? Well, here's how. We follow a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did not just barely squeak by when he died on the cross, when he suffered on the cross, but he conquered on the cross. He did not just barely survive a fist fight with the devil. He destroyed the devil on the cross. And you and I are following that Savior into suffering as well. And we can say, Lord Jesus, we know you passed the test with flying colors. You didn't just barely make it through. You were victorious in suffering. And so Jesus, make me victorious in suffering as well. He's able to do that. Do you believe that's true for you today, church? Do you believe that's true for you today? And he says, here's the promise. If you conquer suffering, you will not be hurt by the second death. What is the second death? Well, think about it this way. Every one of us in this room will die at some point. Probably most of you have realized that, but if you haven't, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Every one of us will die at some point, right? That's a given. There's no reversing that. The question is, will we die a second time? Yes. What happens to you after you die? Are you living forever because you were faithful to Jesus and you served him all your days? Or are you experiencing the actual hell, the actual suffering that never ends? Because you quit on Jesus when it got hard. The invitation today is to say, no matter what comes, I'm not abandoning Jesus. No matter what comes, I'm staying faithful. And I'm going to conquer that second death. I will be with Jesus. I'm not going to suffer forever because I abandoned the Lord. I'll suffer in this life for a short time and be faithful to Jesus in the midst of it. So that's the promise for us today. There are three things I want us to know about suffering as we come to a close here. Here's the first thing. Suffering is temporary. I just alluded to it a little bit. But here's the deal. This life, usually people live, 80, 70, 90 years? That's if it's a good life. Some people, suffer hardship and it's shorter than that, right? Whatever might happen to you in this life, it's marginal compared to an eternity without time. Just think about it, right? Suffering in this life is temporary, right? It feels like forever when you're going through it, right? It feels like this is never going to end. But here's the good news. It will. And God's writing this letter to Smyrna to remind them, hey, I see more than you see. It's going to be short. It's going to be temporary. Today, I would say to you, suffering is temporary. Here's the next thing to know. Suffering is for testing. God doesn't allow people to go through testing that they're not able to conquer. Here's the good news. God hasn't just taken his hands off the steering wheel and let life happen to you. God is leading you through testing because he knows his Holy Spirit is more than enough to bring you through it. And so if you're suffering today and you're saying, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. It feels too hard. Here's the truth. Yes, you can. Not on your own strength. But if you get a hold of the Holy Spirit, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, if you get a hold of him, he will lead you through the testing and he will prove that you are faithful. He will prove his glory in the midst of your difficulty. And here's the last thing. Suffering leads to triumph. Hopefully this has come through loud and clear already, but if it hasn't, if we embrace suffering in this life, not just as a have to, but a get to, there's an eternity with the Lord ahead of us. Thank you, Lord. Nothing can compare to that. The hardest thing you and I could imagine this life, it pales in comparison to eternity with Jesus. There's a man by the name of Ernest Shackleton who in 1914, he was assembling a crew to go down to Antarctica on an expedition. How many of you, after how hot this week was, Antarctica sounds kind of nice right now? one person. obviously Antarctica, you need to be pretty tough to go on an expedition there. And so he knew it was a big ask. And rather than just try to oversell it, here's what he said in the newspaper. This is awesome. Men wanted for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Why did he do this? Well, he knew that in the case that this trip went south, it was going to be important that he had people who had counted the cost up front and were going to be faithful in difficulty. They actually did. The trip went south and they all survived, partly because they signed up front, for the difficulty and they were ready to push through in the midst of it, right? Why am I telling you this? Well, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave a similar pitch for following him. Here was his invitation. If anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He didn't try to oversell what was being offered. He was just upfront. Following me is going to cost you everything. Might even cost you your life. But if you're in, there's a reward. There's an eternal reward. Are you in today, church? Are you ready to follow Jesus, whatever it costs you? Are you signing up for the mission full of peril? But man, it's an adventure. I hope you are. Go ahead and bow your head with me. I want to give an invitation. In this room, I'm aware maybe there are people here who you've associated with Christianity. You've maybe gone to church for years in your life, but you're realizing now, I don't know that I'm experiencing this thing that everyone's talking about here. There's an offer today for you to become part of the family of God. Here's how. confess that Jesus is the leader of your future, the forgiver of your past, and you follow him. You live it out. So if there's anyone here today who you want to make that profession for the first time in your life, say, God, I can't make myself clean. Maybe you're like I was. God, I can't do it, but you can. And you're also realizing, God, when I steer the ship, it's pretty lame. But God, you're a much better leader than I am. I want you to be the leader of my life. If that's you today, I'm just going to invite you to slip up your hands in this room. Slip up your hand. Just identify yourself as the Lord. Lord, here I am. And then the next thing I want to do, this is a little different than how we often end it, but go ahead and open your eyes. I just want to give an invitation I recognize a lot of people in here probably are like, I have, you know, responded, Jesus is the forgiver of my past and the leader of my future. But I just want to, like, maybe you have a fuller understanding of what you signed up for today. You know, you're like, wow, this is crazy. And you just want to affirm today afresh, Jesus, I'm in. You know, you want to respond just like the people who responded to that Ernest Shackleton advertisement. You're seeing Jesus' advertisement. You're like, Jesus, I'm in. If that's you today, would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Lord. Come on, it's going to cost you everything, but it's worth it. You might suffer the craziest things imaginable, but it's going to be worth it. You're going to be in heaven and so glad you persevered to the end. Father God, I thank you for everyone who is in this room right now. Lord, I thank you for making a plan to save us out of this suffering, to save us out of this life full of death and destruction. You didn't leave us alone, but you sent your son Jesus to forgive us, to wash us clean, and to give us the offer of eternal life. And we're responding right now, God, and saying, we trust you to lead us to a better day. We trust you to lead us through whatever suffering might come to an eternal life full of joy and life and peace with you, God. And whatever might have to be endured on the way there, God, we sign up for the journey. We say, God, here we are. Whatever difficulty we have to experience, it pales in comparison to knowing you. We would rather experience difficulty with you than a life of peace without you, God. So we choose today to follow you. Can you say amen to that, church? Amen, amen. Go ahead and take a seat. Amen. At this time, we're going to continue our worship with a Kingdom Builders video, and then I'll hand it back over to my pastor.